Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey friends, welcome to Tennis and Bagels. I'm Andre, and this week we have the Doha 1000 event and the WTA side, and I think something really interesting happened this week. And yes, Karolina Pliskova has done an amazing thing about like reaching the semifinals. She unfortunately retired today as I speak, leaving Iga Świątek into the final. But yeah, she did that amazing run where she won, I think, like 9 matches in a row and in 2 different continents, winning even 8 matches in 8 days, which is pretty impressive. So she's doing a great run. But her last match, that's the one that I really kind of want to touch on, which is from the match that she beat Naomi Osaka, I think in 2 tie breaks. Let me check this one out. Yes, in 2 tie breaks of 7-6, 8-6, and 7-6, 7-5. Or the point is, I believe that she had a few set points even. Can't be quite sure if she served for any of those sets. I don't remember exactly what happened, but that's not really important. The match isn't necessarily what I want to touch on. Is the fact that Naomi Osaka has been playing really good tennis this week. She has progressed pretty rapidly from her return in Australia. I've talked about this in on Twitter. I just tweeted this a few times. But she's been playing some really good tennis, and she's been moving considerably better, returning considerably better. Her ranking is, well, I'm not necessarily saying skyrocketing. It's not that difficult, I would say, if you do a deep run to like really push your ranking up. Although it's really good to have a deep run, it's something that we sort of expect her to do, especially now, I think. But that's really what I want to say, is that it's good that after really all that she's been through and having a child as well, now coming back to tennis, we really wanted to see like how was she going to play. She didn't really disappoint in Australia. We all knew that she wasn't going to come out of the gates firing and winning a Grand Slam right off the bat. This did happen a few times, like where players just kind of came back and had like amazing runs. But that's he's always expected to have some rust. But I feel like she's taking it off really, really nicely. At 26 years old, I think she's in a really good time of her life right now to be coming back on tour. She didn't lose much in terms of age. She's still pretty young. And she's hitting extremely hard right now. She's serving well. Her serve is basically the one thing that, kept her like in a few of these matches, specifically probably this one against Pliskova. She's been returning better. Pliskova is a big server, so it makes it hard, and she was running on a lot of confidence. So it does make sense that Osaka didn't play that match And, you know, she couldn't really find the answer, but 7-6, 7-6 score is really close. And 8-6 tiebreak is really close. So it's definitely something that, you know, should give her confidence going on into the future. But even if the match itself wasn't necessarily like a great quality for her, even if she hadn't played as good tennis as she's playing, somebody made a comment on a video on YouTube on the WTA side about like her movement is better, the return is better, the usage of the forehand and top spin is better. I think particularly her return and her movement have made considerable changes and differences, like a lot more match fit. So yeah, her tennis is good. But even if she wasn't, I think that the best thing about her right now is that her mood is great. I think Naomi Osaka's mood on court is amazing. I think that was basically like my biggest concern when she was coming back, and she said she was coming back, was how is she going to feel? Because that's basically the one thing that really made her, quit tennis for a while, take a little bit break. Basically a year and a half break or something. She was unhappy on tour. She just didn't want to do interviews. She hated being on court. I feel like she wasn't dealing with the pressure as well. I think that she said something about this at some point. But yeah, like looking back on her and seeing her being back now, I think that's the biggest striking difference is how more comfortable she is playing tennis. She's comfortable. She looks like she wants to do well. She wants to win. And she's enjoying the moment. I think enjoying the moment for her is like the most important thing right now. The tennis is going to come. I don't think that she lost it. I think she, as I said, is still young. So the tennis is going to come. But her mind needed to be in a good place for this to happen. And I think it is right now. You see her laughing. You see her doing interviews and being happy to be there. She even left a smile, I believe, like when she was a match point down or something. At some point, like during the match against Pliskova, she let some emotion out, like just with his smiling and not just the awful body language that she was showing when she lost at that US Open. And even against Leila Fernandez in the US Open back in 2021, she was just like really putting the towel like in front of her face. She didn't look happy. She looked like absolutely miserable on court. And now she's looking great. She is looking like she's full of energy. Emotionally, mentally, and I think that's probably the most important thing for her right now. And I think we can see the results about like how she's like being diligent about like her playing style and about like evolving in her tennis. She's now back inside the top 300. She jumped 215 positions with the Doha quarterfinal result. She's not playing in Dubai, but that's okay. Like I think that she's got some protected ranking entries still, and you know. She's also got a family that she loves, and I think that's perfect for tennis players. So many of them kind of are able to get their minds out of tennis a little bit once they get home and, you know, have somebody, something else to care for, a bigger purpose. It's not unheard of. It's actually, you know, something that basically all the players have talked about. Even they still love the sport, of course, like they kind of love something else, and that's great. I think that's kind of great for her to be able to take her head off of tennis for a second and, you know, focus on something else. I think there's a really great balance for her. But yeah, she's reached the Doha quarterfinals as a big result. I feel like she could have, she had really good chances of reaching that semifinal. I really kind of wish that she did though, because, well, obviously Pliskova really deserved that win. She unfortunately couldn't play against Świątek. That would have been probably a good match if she was playing at the level that she was and she wasn't suffering for so much exhaustion, which unfortunately she did because otherwise she wouldn't have retired. But Osaka playing Świątek would have been really good, I think, for all of us to see, like, where is Osaka's tennis right now compared to the elite of the game right now. Because since the comeback, Osaka has finally managed to win two matches in a row since 2022 when in Miami, and also in Miami that's when Osaka had gotten her first her last top 30 win before this season. So she just recently, I don't remember exactly who she beat, but she got a top 30 win, and yeah, that's a really good marquee of like saying like at least her level seems to be around that area, top 50, top 30. But is it top 10? Probably not exactly, but is it going to be in the top 10 level still this year? I don't know. It's tough to say, but I think she can maybe get up to top 50 in the world, top 30. I think my prediction would be that she reaches top 30 in the world in 2024. I don't think she's going to go up back into the top 10 or even maybe the top 20. I think it's hard work. The entire top 10 is playing extremely physical tennis, extremely well right now. They don't really miss that many shots. They push each other extremely hard, and that's an environment that Naomi Osaka is kind of lacking right now. So because of just, you know, all the break that she took and the time off. So the other thing is, can Naomi Osaka win a big title this year? I think Grand Slams are basically out of question. Roland Garros, I don't think she's going to do basically anything in that slam. She's never really played well on clay. It's notoriously a worse surface. She could do something at Wimbledon, but I still don't think that's her best thing. I think that, you know, it's also very known that she's at home on hard courts. She plays extremely well on hard courts. And the last Grand Slam of the season is the US Open, where, you know, there's plenty of good players who are extremely good on hard as well. Iga Świątek being one of them, but of course we have like Elena Rybakina and Arina Sabalenka, who just won the Australian Open. Elena Rybakina, by the way, is in the Doha final right now. She looks pretty unbeatable, and even her loss in the Australian Open is quite shocking. So I would also be shocked if Rybakina would lose to Osaka, or that Osaka would beat maybe any Iga Świątek, Elena Rybakina, Arina Sabalenka, Coco Gauff, for current US Open champion. That is just, the field is very hard. So US Open, I think, is out of question. Wimbledon, Roland Garros definitely do not look in reach. So I would say the Grand Slam dream, probably not in 2024. WTA 1000, I would say maybe she can reach a final. I mean, she very narrowly missed reaching a semifinal. So I think a final could happen. That is, most of the tournaments are on hard courts. More so, the WTA 1000s are on hard courts. There are 10 of them. I think maybe 7 or 8 are on hard courts. So that's a pretty sizable amount. I think that she's got plenty of opportunity, even up to the end of the year, to reach one of those. But I think that conservatively, even with the new rules that where top 30 players can only play 500 level and above, essentially 250s are basically reserved for lower ranked players. I think the top 30 is just going to be too hungry, and the 500s and even in the 1000s, obviously, to, you know, play that tennis, to get those match wins, to get those points, to get that prize money, because now the 250s are out of question for them. Like, they have so few opportunities in the 250s, they gotta make it count on a 500. Whereas Naomi Osaka doesn't necessarily have the restriction right now. So I think she can win maybe one or two 250s this year. I think she could win a 500, depending on maybe the field and how she's playing. I think 1,000, I would say maybe a final is where she can maybe reach. I don't think that she's there yet to win one. Definitely 2025, I think, if she keeps playing this level of tennis, if she keeps her mood up high, if she keeps enjoying it, I definitely think that there's nothing that is going to stand in her way. It'll just like grow and just get more comfortable, get her shots in, get her returns back in place, because that's a tough one to, you know, get used to the pace of that in a match scenario, of course. So yeah, we'll wait and see. I would say probably my prediction is that Osaka win at least a 250 tournament this year and breaks into at least the top 50. The rest we'll have to just wait and see a little bit. And she kind of still needs to face a top 10 player. I think that's going to be one of the greatest barometers. It's going to be like our mark of like, where is her level at? Like, how well is she playing? Where does she need to get better? Like, what's the gap between her and the top 10 right now? So it's all things that kind of need to happen still in the season to get a good idea. But overall, very satisfied with like how I've seen Naomi Osaka on court. I think that makes me happy that she's happy, and I hope that she remains happy so that she can play good tennis, and then everyone's happy because she's amazing. So there you go. And on a side note, the Milos Raonic problems keep going. I think that it's extremely frustrating for me, especially as a Canadian. Milos Raonic is one of the best Canadian players of all time, if not maybe the best. I don't know, maybe at least on the men's side, maybe Milos Raonic is the best Canadian tennis player of all time. Richa Karihara, number three, reached several ATP 1000 events finals, including in Montreal. And he also reached the Wimbledon final. I don't know if I've said that, but anyhow, he's amazing. He's a great player. He has got a big serve, great forehand. He has a great tennis IQ. He knows his tennis better than anyone. He knows his weaknesses better than anyone. Extremely able to hide them. His mind game, his mental game has always been a big characteristic of Milos Raonic. Like his demeanor, his ability to play under pressure and keep his cool. All of this is still there. Of course, he's not like the greatest mover. His backhand seems to be better upon comeback, I believe. Like it's just kind of great. Like he's been returning really well as well. But the body is just not holding up, and it's so frustrating because you see that the level is there, even the desire to play is there. He pushed Jannik Sinner to a 7-6. He got a breakdown and then recovered one of the breaks. He had, I believe, two set points on Jannik's serve at maybe 5-4, I believe. Couldn't convert, unfortunately. But he was on the verge of stealing that set from Jannik Sinner, who has just won the Australian Open and is, for many, the best player on tour right now. So this kind of just goes to show how well he is playing. But he retired from that match at 1-1 in the second set. So it just doesn't look very good in terms of like his health. Like how is he going to hold up? Is he going to be able to keep playing tennis just in general? Like he can win a few matches. He took out, I think, Alexander Bublik, maybe 6-4, 6-4. Big win. He's great. It's just there's absolutely nothing to complain about in terms of his tennis. It's just a matter of like extreme bad luck with like his body and his injuries. Like it's just basically infuriating as a fan to me watching this happen. It's just like it's frustrating, and a bad bet for him. It's unimaginably more frustrating. So I just wish all luck to Milos. I hope he can stabilize his body in that regard, can stay healthy. I hope this injury that he may have picked up, may or may not, is not serious, that he's going to be able to come back soon. I don't know what his next tournament is, but I hope that he's coming back. And if he loses, that he loses in a tennis match and not because his body broke down, which in fact is basically what happened this season. He retired against Alexa Menor in Australia, and he won two matches in Rotterdam and then retired against Sinner. So that's the frustrating part. And now he's world number 220. Can his ranking improve? Sure. His level is definitely there. I think his level is like basically top 30. Just needs to not get injured. And I don't even know if he has any clue how to make that happen. So just basically just on a wait and see what's going to happen to Milos. I really do hope that his body just magically heals completely and just he goes completely injury free for the rest of the year. So yeah, it's basically my the tennis fan speaking in right now, because it's just really a huge shame to see him struggle like that. So yeah. Anyhow, thanks for watching, thanks for listening, you should getting this one on the podcast, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.